You know where that would be weird is if you got a promotion while doing this self-checkout. Where are you going to go?
That's funny.
I don't know. I usually have like six holes. Like, these are the best pair of shorts I have, and they're stained in like four different places. So
nice. Well, you got another 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Usually the best shorts are not the best looking ones.
Your name is IB Crazy. I think it's
funny. No, that crosses the line.
So just to make sure I get everybody's names right, Alex Reeves / IB Crazy.
Chris Thomas
from MultiGP.
And Mike Janutsis.
Mike Janutsis. That's the one that's going to make me struggle.
Right. And there's no S on Greed.
GN out.
Yeah, I always say Greaves, but it's not. And every time I see it online, I note, no S, Greaves. Yeah, but then when I say it, it's Greaves.
Everybody does. That's all right.
Is it okay if I just say Greaves?
Yeah,
it's
gonna if you screw it up, it's fine.
Is there an S on the end? There's not.
There's no S. It's just Greaves. Alex Greaves. So but Greaves rolls off the tongue so much better.
My phone says Greaves.
It's like a sentence, like Alex Greaves.
Yeah, he does. With an every day.
It's Irish.
He responds to anything, though. Hey.
Hey, you.
Hey, you's just fine. Yeah. Just don't call me a jerk. Just don't call me a jerk. If you call me a jerk, I'm Mr. Jerk.
Yeah, that's Mr.
Jerk to you.
Mr. Jerk to you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, guys. Well, we want to welcome you to the Flight Test Podcast. I believe this is going to be episode 87, which means nothing to you guys. But to people that are listening, sometimes they like to listen in order, out order. So that's the episode we're on right now. I have the MultiGP guys with me. I have Chris Thomas. I have Mike.
I'll help you out. Janutsis.
Janutsis.
That's a good one.
And I have Alex Grieve.
There you go. You got it that time.
I didn't say Greaves. It's not plural. So we're here to talk about FPV racing, some shenanigans we're going to get into a little bit later today with flying. It's going to be a fun day. You guys just, well, except for Mike, you guys just got off coming back from Stone Blues Flying Circus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How did that go?
No, it was amazing. It was a very relaxed event. It was a combination of multi-rotor guys and FPV wing guys. Almost everything there was FPV, which is what we love. It was nice because you could flip to the channels and you could watch an airplane. You could flip to a multi-rotor. We did have a couple of multi-rotor on airplane accidents. The airplanes thought they could fly the multi-rotor course, which was fine, until they went the wrong direction.
Ooh.
And a foam airplane and four spinning propellers. You know what happens.
Yikes. Yeah, nice, that's a little rough.
But it's great for the crowd.
For the crowd. It's good for the crowd.
We had some excellent racing. I mean, there was a photo finish race there on the first day where it was amazing.
Was that the clip you guys were talking about sending to us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, when you hear the crowd cheering on these racers, and they're coming through at breakneck speed, and right at the last gate, the lead racer just clips the gate and flips right over the camera as the guy in second just rocks right by
him. He almost won even while flipping.
That's awesome.
Had he flipped just a little bit later, he still would have won.
Yeah, it was maybe, without the camera, you couldn't tell who won. It was amazing. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's when you know you're getting into some nice, intense stuff, is when you can't tell who's going to win without a camera.
Yeah.
So, in theory, today we've shot a successful multi-GP episode. It hasn't happened yet, so maybe a lightning bolt will strike us and we'll all die before then. But as long as nothing went terribly awry, that episode is either going to be released or has been released. I think it's going to be called something to the effect of Getting Started with FPV Racing with multi-GP. So, FPV racing. Flight test, one thing that we do really well and that we're excited about here is just getting something in the air and flying. And we're all about those quick wins, those first successes, because that's what really keeps a beginner motivated to do FPV and to do really anything in the RC hobby. But what you guys are doing is, on a grassroots level, taking it to something that's repeatable for racing. And so that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this video episode with you guys was to say, okay, so what is the process if, you know, because organizing a huge, you know, FPV racing event is one thing, but just making it so it's not a massive headache to do it with your friends on the weekend is a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what you guys are specializing in, which we are huge fans of, because honestly, we don't race a whole lot. We do, like we were talking about earlier today, we do Let's Flies, where that's kind of borrowed from the gaming, you know, the Let's Plays, where you just kind of chat it with each other and go explore and follow the leader, that sort of thing. But the number one reason that we don't do a whole lot of racing, because we have some guys here that are actually pretty decent at it, it's just a lot of work.
Right.
It's a lot of hassle to get out to the field and get everything going.
Yeah, and really, if you look at how we got started, I started with a group in January. I met up with an FPV group, the Brevard Multirotor Group, in our area. And the issue that we ran into very quickly is it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I was the one responsible for running the event. And I was frustrated. It became a job. It was no longer fun. You know, every weekend consisted of me showing up 2 hours early, leaving 2 hours after it was done. And the entire process were FPV pilots getting frustrated with me because things were not going the way they wanted it to go.
Yeah.
I was not smart enough to just stop and walk away and find another hobby. I just wanted to fix the problem. So I started by creating a written method that said, okay, do this, this, and this, and we can race. And after a couple of weekends, I got it to where it was a very manageable event. Well, once we felt manageable, we put it out to some of the local groups, and we had 25 guys show up to race in our first big race. And it went perfectly. Wow. It was at that point that we saw that the process we were making really was working, and there was some value to be had. Some of the guys who came from Orlando, they asked, can we use this? Yeah, of course. I mean, at the time, the multi-GP wasn't really the thought. It was just, let's race FPV.
Yeah.
So I went back on Monday to my office, and I sat with my programmer, a programmer who mainly works on home inspection software. And I said, hey, Tom, listen, I want you to work on this program for me. It was mainly to make my life easier.
Yeah.
Eventually, I would like, you know, I want to get to the point to where when you show up to an event, you just follow through the steps, the race goes very smooth, and there's not a lot of work needed from volunteers in order for races to work. As that started to develop, we began to expand. We started meeting up with all of these other organizers. I started seeing this vision of, you know, big races, NASCAR, Formula One, all this happening through FPV with multi-rotors. And my concern was, if we don't build a local network where in every city there's a field and there's a coach and people have a place to go, they're going to be inspired like we were, but they'll be racing in places they shouldn't.
Yeah.
So that's really how we got started.
That, and they're going to go through the same frustration you felt.
Yeah.
I know what it's like. Trust me. I'm the guy stuck with running frequency management at FPV events.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I, not a job I envy from anyone. And actually, I have to give a huge shout out to, well, really all three of you, particularly Chris, for getting in touch with me. These guys, all three of these guys helped with frequency management. That's correct, right? All three of you guys had a huge hand in that at Flight Fest. And that was one part of the event, and this is partly an apology to you guys, that I didn't even think about.
Right.
But I didn't think about it because it went so well.
Nice. Yeah.
And so I didn't hear a single complaint. People were, and like you said, would you say, Chris, there was like 144 people?
142 pilots.
142 pilots that got the multi-GP treatment at Flight Fest. And I was astounded by that.
Yeah.
I could not believe how few resources we actually gave you and how well you did with that. It was just amazing. So,
well, I've watched every episode of MacGyver. So
that, well,
it took a little bit from that.
Obviously served you well.
There were some volunteers who came over and really, I mean, they were
we
there
couldn't
from,
have done it without
from sunup to sundown.
Welcome to my world.
It was awesome.
It was
awesome.
And the volunteers were willing to be educated as well. I mean, some of the volunteers actually knew what they were doing and were able to jump right in. Others really didn't know, and their attitude was, please teach me. I'd like to help you.
Well,
and that was awesome.
And, you know, we can't brag on, you know, volunteers enough here, but, I mean, to their credit, when we had our volunteer meeting, Chris came to me and said, hey, Austin, things are going well. You didn't even have, like, basic things you needed, like a whiteboard and a timer and stuff like that. We were waiting on some of those basic things. You're like, hey, we got a pen and paper system down. I could just really use some help. And so we made an announcement in that volunteer meeting that, hey, we need help with FPV racing. Well, actually, it was funny. During our volunteer meeting, we said, okay, if you have experience with FPV, raise your hand. I'd say about a third raised their hand. They're like, okay, if you have any experience with FPV racing, keep your hand raised. Pretty much all the hands went down.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of people that were super willing to help you guys, and they really didn't know what they were doing. But I mean, to both of your credit, I mean, you guys brought them up to speed, and they really came out to help. So that's huge.
Yeah, and I have to say that Flight Test was different than any event that I've been to. You know, most of the time, most of the events that I've attended, everyone is there to have fun, which sure. Flight Test is the same way.
Yeah.
But the difference is Flight Test has so many creators, people who like to put in effort. They like to build things that even though they're there to have fun, they enjoy being part of the build process.
Yeah.
And so the same went with volunteers. You had guys who they drove halfway across the U.S. to come to that event. And this was their one big event of the year.
Yeah.
And they spent it volunteering and they did it happily. It wasn't yeah. it wasn't forced servitude.
Yeah.
It was service, and they loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah, we really think part of the draw is for FPV racing is the social aspect of it. You know, sometimes flying multi-rotors can be a solo thing. You know, you get some free time, you go out in the park, and it's just you flying. But guess what? When you get 10 of your friends together and you all have a passion for something and you're all doing the same thing, that's when it really gets interesting, and that's what we help out with.
Yeah, the other thing I found interesting, because this is a grassroots thing, and we are, I mean, at first we were pretty scattered, but at this point we're getting more common, and we've got a bunch of chapters. People are getting closer. What I find amazing is the community that comes together behind racing. I mean, you don't the competition, everybody wants to see everybody else do well. We want to see our best on the line, and then we just want to sit back and watch the excitement and then be part of the next race. It's truly amazing. Gotta love seeing it. I mean, mm-hmm. the social aspect, you meet people from all over the world, and it's absolutely amazing. I think that's one of the great things about MultiGP is it's starting to standardize. This is a new sport. Mm-hmm. We're at the edge of a new sport, and it's now becoming a standard where, you know, I'm in Virginia, and I can actually be ranked against somebody in California all the way across the country nationally, and then I can talk to them. I mean, why are you kicking my butt every
yeah.
time?
Yeah.
You know, what can I do to be better?
And we can get into some of the specifics of how MultiGP operates, that sort of thing, but that, partially that's possible because you guys have a standardized course, which I've talked about for a long time. I've talked about, like, oh man, we need to come up with, like, the, you know, insert adjective course here that just, you know, everybody right. flies the same course. That mm-hmm. way everyone knows what they're going up against. But you guys have thought through all of that. And so that's something that's already come to fruition
right,
from you guys.
Right.
So part of the video episode companion to this podcast that will be, which is how to get started with FPV racing. Can you tell us a little bit, Chris, about some of the philosophy about how that works? About
sure.
what's the process?
Well, we've spent a lot of our time and our efforts in building these tools, building the software primarily. So as an event organizer, and the event organizer you're going to find is really where we're trying to cater to.
Sure.
There's a lot of pilots. There are a lot of guys who want to fly. Not everybody has the time or wants to be an organizer.
Yeah.
That's the thankless position that we really want to make easier and better.
Yeah.
So as an organizer, you place an event on our schedule. Let's say that we're doing it today. You
yep.
place an event. In,
which we
in,
are.
Yeah. and then you choose in that event, what are the specifications of the race? Do you want to race quadcopters that run 3-cell batteries that are within this size range and use these propellers? You can be very broad. You can let anybody race, or you can be very specific. You can mm-hmm. have multiple races. Once that race is created, the local pilots have the ability to go through and using their smartphone or their computer and RSVP for that event. Once they show up on site, they pull out their phone and they click check in. When they check in, it gives them the instructions for what to do.
That's awesome.
That's the biggest bottleneck that we've dealt with is when I'm on a megaphone and I'm having to tell each person individually, number one, they're there to have fun.
Yep.
So you're conversating with your friend you haven't seen since last weekend. You don't want to listen to the guy on the bullhorn. So we give them the tool through the software that says, hey, when am I racing again? Oh, okay, I see. In the first group, I'm in the second race. And in the third group, you know, the second race, I'm in the third race. And so you're able to go through the software and determine where you're going to be. As the organizer, you do your safety briefing, which that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Even though we're there to have fun and everybody knows what they're doing, you know, we want to make sure that there is a briefing that says, here are the safety rules. They're not difficult. They're very simple to follow, but they need to be stated. Once that's done, the organizer creates the race schedule, and that tells everybody when that they're racing. As the race is going on, that organizer is updating how each person finishes in the race, and so that's how we determine who wins that particular event.
That's incredible. Yeah, I've done a lot of like pickup sports and like intramural sports and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the person that's guaranteed to not have a good time is the person that's calling everybody to see if they're going to be there.
Yeah,
right.
The person that's organizing it is always the person that has the least fun.
Uh-huh.
And so is what I really like is how easy you guys have made it to not only find people to fly with, but also become that reference point, right? Yeah. Become that coordinator that people fly with.
Well, it's not perfect. I can tell you that we're constantly making improvements. We have a huge wish list on our programming desires.
Of course.
But it's growing and improving at such a pace that by the end of this year, I'm excited to see what's going to be there.
The last number that I checked with you guys was, 1,200 pilots that you have registered in your system? And so, you know, even if those pilots are just flying every other weekend, like, that's a huge pool of people.
Yeah, yeah, it really
and
is.
And it only gets more functional, and it only gets more fun when you quadruple that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's great because it's what you guys have now is awesome, and it's only going to keep snowballing to be more awesome.
We actually had a promotion for that 1,000th pilot that registered for us and the 1,200th pilot. And Miami chapter hit the 1,200th mark.
Nice.
So they'll be getting 5 multi-GP racing flags from us.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, that's part of the what we do is, you know, we invest in these local chapters and we give them the tools to help make them successful, especially these chapter organizers. You know, we all talk about how chapter organizers as ourselves, we want to race too. We don't, you know, want to organize all day. We want to race. So we have a community just for those multi-GP chapter organizers where we provide tips, what gear is working best and how to streamline race day just to make it easier.
That's, yeah. Well, and it takes, I have to say, something like multi-GP, just for me personally, there is some personal benefit to me trying to help spread the word about this too, is that I'm a very self-conscious FPV flyer. I've just started getting into quads about 6 months ago, mini quads. And before that, I was flying FPV, but it was off like a FPV Nano.
Okay.
Blade FPV Nano. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for me, going to a racing event would be a lot of fun, but it's kind of like going to, you know, a basketball pickup game where you know it's all, like, ex-NBA players. You know what I mean? It's like that intimidation factor is just, like, sky high.
Sure.
And so, like, and even just to know where the races are and to go hang out at one, even if you don't even bring a quad with you.
Well,
and just to get that comfortable, you know, feeling, that sort of thing. I think it's going to be huge what you guys are doing. Because, like, there's a, you know, obviously big FPV racing events now, and that's awesome. And you guys have been to some of those, and you guys know how awesome they are. But the fact of the matter is, that's going to be 0.5% of people participating in FPV racing.
Right.
Everybody else is going to do it with their friends in their backyard. Well, hopefully not their backyard, but someplace that's safe. Put it that way. That could be your backyard. It's not. That wouldn't be mine. But it just sets up an ecosystem for people to participate, like myself, that are never going to go to a Drone Nationals, but really are interested in racing.
And we, most of the chapters, like the chapter that I belong to is the Brevard Multirotor. That's our founding chapter of MultiGP. Sure. Every weekend there's at least one event with the group, and you can find them on MultiGP, but only once per month do we have an official race.
Sure. Okay.
The rest of the time is a time for you, if you're new, to get out there to fly the course. One of the best things for someone new trying to get into FPV, whether they're racing or just flying FPV but want to fly low to the ground, is while you're flying to find a line of sight person to sit there with you and let them be your human altimeter.
Yeah.
So I did this with Bob Brown at IRCHA, which he was having some trouble in trying to fly. Bob's the president of AMA, and, yep. and I can tell you firsthand that he really loves FPV.
Yeah, he sure does. He has nothing but good things to say about you.
Yeah. So while we're sitting there, he's flying, and I'm telling him, you're about 20 feet. Okay, you're descending. You're about 15 feet, 10 feet. Because the hardest part at first is really getting that feel for what does it look like when I'm flying level?
Yeah.
What does it look like when I'm descending or ascending? Once that's done, running the multi-rotor course isn't that difficult. You just take your time.
Well, I've been doing simulator time as well, like FPV free rider.
Okay.
And one thing that I've found is that there's the biggest difference between flying FPV. Actually, I find in most aspects flying FPV easier, except for throttle management.
Yeah.
Throttle management is just like the biggest number one thing. I really, in every other way, orientation, it's easier. Just like flying fast is easier, but it's just that throttle management. And if you're going to be racing, that's all throttle management.
What I can tell you, because when I started, I haven't been flying multi-rotors that long. I really didn't start flying FPV multi-rotors till January. But Hefty, who's a phenomenal pilot, if you've ever seen his videos online, he's part of our local club. And he was sitting beside me as I'm trying to run the course one of the first times. And he looks over at me operating and said, hey, use the throttle sort of like you're jumping from spot to spot with the multi-rotor. Instead of trying to hold it like an airplane where you're smooth on the throttle, instead, and it works really great. If you start to lose altitude, just sort of give it a momentary blip in throttle and then go back to where you were before. The multi-rotors with four motors and the thrust to weight ratio that they have will very quickly correct themselves.
Yeah.
That, for me, in my history as a pilot, you could see a huge difference in my flying once I absorbed that from before and after.
That's a great tip.
And that's that's the other great thing about having these chapters. If you're a newbie and you've never raced before, don't feel intimidated, because we've got a lot of experienced pilots there. I mean, I am finally, I think, out of the noob stage. I can complete laps now. You know, and it's tips like that using
sounds like there's some disagreement around the table there. Yeah.
Novice, let's say novice.
Hey, I beat you in the last race.
You didn't finish.
You crashed. Yeah, but you crashed on takeoff.
So you crashed later than
that. That's right. That's right. I got more gates than you.
He was a more advanced DNF.
That's right. Hey, I got props for that.
Right.
But the nice thing is when you're competing out there, you've got that adrenaline. But if you're a newbie, you don't want that. You want a coach.
Yeah.
And you've got experienced pilots out there who really, really want to help you succeed. You know, one of the things that Chris taught me when I was running the course, I was ballooning every turn. And he said, Alex, anticipate that corner. Turn the vehicle on its side before you get there. And, you know, I don't know why I never thought of this, but of course it has inertia.
Yeah.
And until I punch that throttle, it's not really going to change all that fast. But when I'm through that gate, making that turn, ready to make that turn, all I do is punch the throttle and boom, I'm starting to change direction. I'm already set up for it instead of jamming my sticks to the corners and watching myself run into the beans.
Well, and you stole the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say the exact same thing before you started, which was, what Chris was just talking about with that throttle tip, that's exactly what you're going to get by going up to a chapter.
Right.
Yeah. Is you're going to get, because there's every single person I've met that's doing this is obviously doing it as a hobby.
Yeah.
And when you're doing something as a hobby, you're 100% passionate about what you're doing. And when you're 100% passionate about what you're doing, all you want to do is tell other people about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what we're seeing actually now is, you know, these monstrous social media groups are actually kind of splitting up. And, you know, as our chapters define themselves and get more members, you know, our pilots are realizing, oh, I can call up Bob down the street. He's racing too. Well, now we can go meet at the park and practice. And, you know, these Facebook groups that we're developing are becoming much more localized. And it's really helping to push this activity from the grassroots level, from the ground up, rather than the top down.
Absolutely. Well, and not that I needed to sell Josh Bixler on you guys or anything, but when I was telling him, I was going to have you guys out to do frequency management, that sort of thing for FPV racing for Flight Fest, I was trying to describe you guys, and so, like, because obviously we could sit here and probably go through, like, 24 different, like, racing leagues or names of people that are trying to, in an organized manner, race multi-rotors. So I was trying to explain what was different, you know, about you guys, and so I was like, well, as, like, here's something, like, here's a way to describe it. It's, like, most of the quadcopter racing leagues that I'm familiar with, they all want to be the biggest thing, and these guys, in my mind, they want to be the most local thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the difference in my mind, and maybe I'm not explaining that right, but, like, difference in grassroots and hosting a huge event is, if we can get something that is going to be the most local thing, you can have the biggest thing anywhere. Right. You know what I mean? You can, you get, if you get that base layer established first, you can have the biggest event anywhere you want to have it.
I mean, these big events are awesome for the activity
and exposure and that sort of thing. Yeah.
But if you were to compare it to a different sport, say football, hey, guess what? It's great that we have a Super Bowl out there, but we want to get pads on the kids first and tell them how to play the activity before they even make it to the Super Bowl.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's where we're focusing our efforts on.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Super Bowl, I mean, Chris and I were both at Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did have the opportunity to get my butt kicked. it just happens.
Sure.
I'm used to it by now. But the nice thing is, you know, it was interesting. The part I liked the most about it was meeting all the pilots.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I had more fun at Flight Fest. I had more fun at the Flying Circus.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing about the Nationals was meeting these pilots I looked up to.
Yeah.
But it was much more fun to, it's much more fun to race at a local level. It really is.
Sure.
And to share, you know, When you're going down the course, when you're taking that turn, when you hit that flag, turn it on edge and punch it. Watch what happens. And just these people that are racing really well are teaching you how to race better and watching on their course. They're not judging you. They're teaching you how to be better and enjoy it more. And it's just, there's just this wonderful feeling when it's local.
Right.
It really is.
And I am happy to be proven wrong by this. it hasn't happened yet, but I mean, FPV racing at this time just is not a spectator sport.
No.
It's interesting for a few minutes, and then...
I have to disagree.
please do.
So, it is not a spectator sport in terms of someone sitting in the stands, looking out, and watching a 250-sized quad race around the track. It is absolutely a spectator sport for a retired pilot to go out with his lawn chair and his pop tent and pull out his screen and tune into the different pilots.
Couldn't agree more. I agree with that.
We've got a whole, in Melbourne, we've got a whole group of pilots who come from the local airport I fly at, and they just come to watch. They don't even own multi-rotors, but they've got screens and goggles.
But on some level, I think is maybe what we're saying the same thing, but talking about it differently. On some level, I consider that participation.
Okay.
You know, so my point being is that without this ground level grassroots type thing, I mean, if you look at the stands, you know, for any, you know, FPV racing event, they're fairly well empty. It's because most people have their heads in goggles, even if they're not flying, or they have, they're gathered around a screen. So yes, I 100% agree there. And I think that there's a lot of perfecting to do there. You know, I think that as soon as we start getting like ground station trailers and that sort of thing that are purely for spectating, which is kind of what we tried to do at Flight Fest. That was what the FPV Experience event tent was supposed to be. And thanks to you guys, became a fraction of what I imagined it to be.
It was awesome.
Yeah. And the thing is I think that could be done 10x.
Yeah.
The FPV Experience tent. And I think that that's where it really becomes a spectator sport. But yeah, watching quads go in a circle, everybody knows, gets old pretty quick.
Sitting in the stands I don't ever see it happening unless we're going to build quadcopters that are bigger than cars.
And can we please stop saying quads? I don't own a quad. Well, not a race quad.
I'm trying to avoid the word drones.
It is called multi-GP.
You know,
it's not quad GP. That's why I joined.
Right. You know, I do think we should cover, too, the word drones.
I'm always happy to talk about that.
It's something that comes up a lot. I don't see any negative connotation to the word drone, but I look at automobiles, at cars. When they first came out, long time ago, these things were motor coaches, right?
Yeah.
It was a motor coach.
That's right.
It didn't matter what it was. It was a motor coach. But then as you became educated, it became a van or a truck or a car or a motorcycle. I think drones will go that same way. I'd like to see it go to the point where, yeah, drone could be anything that a human's not in. But when you know what you're talking about, you call it a tricopter or a Y6. Mm-hmm. Or whatever else Alex is flying that day.
whatever contraption.
Anything that's not normal is what it would be for Alex.
Yeah, actually, I wrote an article for Make Magazine that had the exact same sentiment of there's more appropriate terms for all of these platforms than drones. But let's try to win back the drone term as a broad term that we can educate people further. Because it almost, if somebody calls it a drone, they're either trying to do two things. They're either trying to communicate to someone that doesn't think that they would know the word multirotor.
Right.
Or they're somebody that just doesn't know the word multirotor.
Yeah.
Either way, they kind of identify themselves by using the word drone. And so, yes, drone, you know, I think that we're kind of getting away from people thinking of drones as, you know, I think that honestly now if you say drone, people are now more inclined to think toy than military.
Right. Or a flying camera rig.
Exactly.
Yeah. It used to be, you know, just 5 years ago, you said drone, everybody thought of the Predator. That's the first thing they thought of. Now you say drone and everybody thinks of a four-rotor helicopter with a big camera underneath it.
Yeah.
Or six-rotor in the case of...
Well, even like flying like at a family reunion or something, like bringing a Nano or something like that to fly, and somebody's like, oh, that's awesome, you brought a drone. I didn't know they made them that small.
Yeah, right. I get that a lot.
So, like, it's like, you know, it's a broad term, and I think that the more that people get worked up about it, the less helpful it is to actually educating people about what it actually means.
Right.
But I do love about your name is that I just love the multi-GP name. I think that absolutely nails it. And I think that it's easily associated with FPV and FPV racing. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of people are branding or using drone for their brand.
Right.
Which I'm not sure that's sending the right message.
It's for as far as search terms online, drone is definitely the word right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But at the pace and rate that it's growing, we hope to see it burn out and become more specialized. We're multi-rotor racing. We're not even wing racing. Even though we host races where people race airplanes, that's not what we're focused on. We want to do one thing excellent, and that's multi-rotor racing.
Well, so what's interesting, you mentioned like SEO search terms, that sort of thing, really is where the competition is going to is drones. And so people that aren't using that term, I believe, eventually are actually going to have an edge.
It's the newest sport. I mean, think about it. Every sport had to have a start. Football, American football, how did that start? Starting from a soccer game and people just messing around. Hey, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, we're at the birth of a new sport. And it's racing. Let's face it. We love racing. We'll race anything. I mean, there's lawnmower racing, for goodness sake. But this is a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is you can do this at a high school level. There is no drone racing in high schools yet.
Right.
And it's great for guys like me who, when the coach said, warm up with two laps around the track, be like, okay, I'm done practicing, coach. I'm dead.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great for the geeks, the techies.
Yeah. And it's great. It's kind of a bridge in between this whole, you know, esports and bridging into reality too. Esports has these big personalities and almost celebrities that are playing video games, basically. But with our sport, guess what? When you wreck into a tree, something breaks.
Yeah, you hit a rail.
Right.
There's penalties. There's consequences.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And you need to know how to fix it. Yeah. You know, and that's a lot of parents that we talk to are really interested in that because the kids are outside, they're learning engineering and electrical knowledge. And they're doing something that's on a social level, too. They're not sitting in front of a television. And they're out there meeting other people doing the same thing they're interested in.
And that's going to bring a lot of positive attention to the word drone. I mean, it's going, and I believe everybody at MultiGP shares this vision, is that, you know, we want that people to go, when you talk about drone, they're not thinking about, you know, the Predator or a spy drone. They're thinking about the race event. You know, like when you say football, what do you think of? Okay, you know, we want that kind of thing, but we also want to grow it as a sport where, You know, and I talked about this at the Nationals. I would really like to see, you know, some girl from Kansas that nobody knows of suddenly become nationally ranked racing drones and just become a celebrity overnight based on technical knowledge and ability to fly. You know, just you can do that. This really allows this to happen.
This is a growing industry. It is. I mean, the use of drones is getting bigger and bigger every day, exponentially. So we hope to encourage innovation. We want to be a part of what drives people like Kalen, the guy who developed OneShot, which thank you, Kalen, if you're listening, to continue to innovate, to make more things. And instead of just using these things as weapons, which I would rather we use automated vehicles for weapons than put people at harm, but I'd rather us not bother with using weapons. Let's use these for racing. Let's use them for competition, and let's let that competition push the innovation.
Absolutely.
You look at Formula One. Red Bull's budget last year or two was $460 million.
Good grief.
That's one race team. So
half funded by our friend Zach.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's exciting. I also like the fact that if you get involved at this sport at a young age, it will carry over. It'll take you in through college. It'll take you to science. It'll take you to engineering. It'll take you to programming or materials or something that
physics.
When you get done with your experience in college, even if you don't go pro, you have something to take with you.
Well, and it's like lots of other disciplines where lots and lots of kids don't go pro. You know, you have huge takeaways.
Yeah.
And you have really important skills learned, you know, through you learn problem solving, you know, you're learning about technology. And the great thing is about kids is that they have no fear of technology. There's no fear of the unknown. So they're just willing to dive right into it. And so, it's definitely a huge opportunity.
Well, you get a lot of the sciences and math into this because if you, that's the interesting thing about multirotors. I've flown Chris's vehicle and he's like, oh yeah, it's race tuned. And I get a hold of it and go, yeah, this doesn't fit me. This doesn't fit me at all. I need to change this and this and this. And now I'm going to fly that. So the individual tuning, and it's based in calculus. I mean, your PID is proportional, integral, derivative.
Yeah.
And yeah, I took calculus and I was lucky not to sleep through it. I mean, it's boring. There's no application for this.
Well, now Alex likes to get deep and dirty into this stuff.
Be careful.
There's a lot of software that takes care of all of this.
I know, but I can get deep and dirty into the calculus, into the mathematics.
Right.
And now I'm applying it.
Exactly.
It's not this abstract concept. I see what it's actually doing.
You can get as granular as you want with it.
Right.
Well, a nice thing is that now that it is becoming more accessible to people, I mean, I do not enjoy building really anything. I would rather pay somebody to build something for
me. You work for flight tests.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Let me say I was not hired for my building acumen.
Okay.
He's the marketing guy.
Yeah, I was hired for other skills. But I did build my first race quad a few weeks ago, and I have to say that, you know, I didn't have to know a whole lot about PIDs. I didn't have to know, you know what I mean? Like, it went together in a couple hours, and I have to say it was a really satisfying experience because at the end, you know, it was kind of, I made this, you know, that
right.
I can't wait to, honestly, there's some things I'd like to change on it, so I can't wait to crash it, so that way I can get in there and make some more modifications, but... because who wants to take it apart?
You know? Well, that's actually one of the nice things about a multirotor. When you crash it, you take it apart. As opposed to, you know, when you crash an airplane, you go up there with a broom, a dustpan, and a garbage bag.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I broke an arm. I got to replace it and replace a couple of propellers. And you're back in the air in 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
And when you change the tuning, it's a different vehicle. So that is one of the greatest things about the multirotors. They do... they're so easy to modify, they're so easy to change, and they do crash well.
Yeah.
And they absolutely really do.
And it's a learning experience every time you put it back together.
I started flying, when I first flew FPV, I thought it was neat, but it was still me sitting outside in a chair with a set of goggles on. The moment I started racing and someone passed me, and I wanted to go a little bit faster because I didn't want to lose... I forgot that I was sitting in a chair. I forgot that I'd go, and I became the multi-rotor. And that's when it really clicked for me. That's the experience that you can only feel on a racetrack.
Yeah. Yeah, and I tell you what, no matter how good you are by yourself, as soon as you start racing someone and your thumbs start jittering because yeah. that adrenaline's going, yeah. it's a whole new story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild. You know, watching, you know, in a race, you know, when you watch that guy, he's right in front of you, and you're like, I'm gonna pass him. You just jam that throttle, like, I'm gonna do this.
Ground. Yeah, like, oh, I hit it too hard.
No, I hit the gates.
Right.
Then the ground.
Right.
Well, I guess something I haven't experienced yet that I'm really looking forward to making that part of, you know, hopefully with this episode today, hopefully that's something that we're a flight test getting into a little bit more.
So you're racing?
No, not yet. Yeah.
Are you going to race today?
Probably not.
Oh, come on.
I think you should.
Mine's not set up for FPVs. That's my excuse anyway.
We can fix it.
You know what?
We can sell some cameras out there.
I have one you could fly.
Yeah. You guys are peer pressuring me.
That's how it works.
The internet's going to make fun of me.
Look, the best part is when you crash, you don't get hurt.
That's true.
That's right.
So, instead, Chris's quad gets hurt.
There you go. That's what it's there for.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for taking the time to hop into a podcast today. So just real quick summary for what we're talking about. MultiGP, it's a national organization. They're looking for more chapters.
Get involved.
You guys are looking for more coordinators as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so if you are interested in getting involved in MultiGP, MultiGP has not yet, but will apparently be setting up a page specifically for flight test people.
Yes.
So if you go to multigp.com/flight test, you'll be able to, or just click the link in the description of the show notes here. That's going to get you directly ported into their conversation, into their community, and get you started. Even though the 1,200 members is a lot nationwide, you know, that doesn't, you know, there's a lot more room.
It's a big country.
Yeah,
it's a big country. And so, if you think that there's room for something like this, even if it's just starting with your buddies, even if it's just 3 or 4 buddies, you know, that are flying, and you guys think that you want to be the hub in your city for people that are interested in FPV and FPV racing, please get started with this, with MultiGP, because what they're doing is awesome. And I think that in 6 months, you'll probably look back at MultiGP and wish that you had started the one in your city. So I think that that's my call to action for you guys. Chris, did I miss anything?
No, you did excellent. Thanks for having us. This has been awesome.
Much appreciated.
So before you guys go, I have to ask the question that probably everybody is wondering is, how do you guys make money doing this?
Money?
That's a great question. We don't.
I
spent a lot of money.
Yeah, me too.
I spent a lot of money.
Great. So I'm an entrepreneur. I have several businesses, and this is something that started as a weekend hobby and has grown into an obsession. And
welcome to the club.
Yeah, the only goal right now is to put a field in every city.
Yeah.
Once we accomplish that, then we'll talk about potentially monetizing something, but it's not even on the radar. I just want to see the racing get to be a real sport.
Yeah, we know what it takes to get organized, and we just wanted to expand it.
Yeah, it's a humbling approach, guys.
And we've got a lot of people who actually help out with that. I mean, some
like
of the,
Alex.
Yeah, well, we some of the gates. I've funded. I don't know how many chapters I've funded at this point, but I want to see it happen. We all do. And we're willing to put our financial.
Yeah,
and we do have sponsors who are helping. I mean, there's been a lot of great sponsors. Alex is one of them. Voodoo Quads down in Florida is another. We have quite a few sponsors who have helped. They've contributed to help the local chapters get the equipment that they need. So we really appreciate their support.
The special part about us is we're growing with the community. We're growing with the activity. We're not trying to forge this organization and say, hey, we're the best.
Yeah.
We're letting the community define what MultiGP is. So we're going to continue to grow with it.
It's exciting. It's a model we're definitely familiar with.
So. Right.
And the way I look at it is like this. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than watching something you're passionate about grow beyond your wildest dreams.
And
we all share that vision.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that part of one of the things that sponsors does do for you guys, and Alex, you being one of them, is sending gates out and that sort of thing to local chapters. So I think that's something that Flight Test would we're now in the position that that's something that we could be involved in, and so we're excited to. We got our very first set of gates here. That we're going to be using today for the episode.
We're going to build them. We still have to go build them.
We got to go build some gates. We're getting close on time.
That's five targets for me to hit.
Peter's not here. Who's? What are we going to do?
Peter,
we need you to come back. We need your help.
Show prep means Peter. Can you do this? guys, I want to thank you for coming, sitting in on this, sitting on this podcast. I think it's really going to be educational for people, and I think they're going to get a lot out of it. So that's multigp.com/flight test. Go get signed up.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.